Good morning, everyone. I'd like to open up in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this service and this day. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather. We're here to praise you and worship you, and you are so awesome that we're just pleased and just ready to take all our praises to the throne. Lord, we ask that you would invite your Holy Spirit to be in this service, and we ask that he would minister to each and every one. In Jesus' name.
You did it really well, hon. Oh, how about we all stand for the opening scripture, and it'll be on the screen up there. It's going to be from Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, and this is the NIV version. Have you not read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.
Amen. Let's remain standing. And as we sing this first song, let it just go down into your soul, because it's "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And sometimes we can, as you read in Psalms, our soul can become weary. There's a lot of areas of attack that could happen in our soul. So we're just going to lift it up and give it to the Lord this morning. Chris, can I have you come up and pray?
Isn't this just a glorious day? When we stand here and look out, it is just marvelous. Yes. Well, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to be together and to express our love for you. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for the singing and playing that you have blessed Pastor Janet with. We just thank you, Lord. It is so wonderful to be able to praise you and to worship you. And part of our worship, Lord, is our giving of the tithes and our offerings. So, Lord, we just ask that you would prompt each one of us to give what you want us to give. Yes. That it won't be given out of compunction, Lord, but it will be given out of a heart of love for you. Yes. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do. We ask that you bless this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I thought a good song to sing during this time is Amazing Grace a cappella, because that's one that most of us know by heart.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved my now.
Heavenly Father, we lift this up to you, Lord God, for this is yours, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this precious time of continuing to praise and worship you, to honor you with your tithes and our offerings, Lord, with cheerful hearts, with hearts that love you, with hearts that are being obedient, Lord. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for your blessings on every area of this time, Lord. I thank you and praise you that even part of these non-designated tithes and offerings will go to help missions around the world and the Four Square missions. But part of that even helps with missionaries around the world, since that is such a big focus of the Four Square denomination. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the gospel of Jesus Christ getting spread throughout the world, but also through Pathway of Hope. May we be just continuing that light for you, for your glory. Because of your love for each one of us, and because of your love for each one that is out there, and everyone that our lives will touch. For we are each individually having different people that we can reach for you with just being in line over your hands, your feet, your action of your love. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that this helps continuing to help the work of you, Lord God, your kingdom work through Pathway of Hope, Lord. So may it be used in ways that are just well-pleasing to you, with the highest, utmost integrity. For we answer to you, Lord God. May you multiply it and bless. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I forgot to get my gum out of my mouth. I have a frog in my throat today. I don't like that when the frog's there. I know. And then so y'all hear me going... So, yeah, he's like, did you notice that Pastor Steve changed the little flyer? So I have the new flyers here. He changed it up from last week. Did you notice that? So it's really nice. I like the water. Isn't that refreshing? It's like, oh yeah. So, and I've met Pastor Angel before, but I've never met the other pastor that will be there. Of course, Pastor Mark and Pastor Susanna, and then their awesome worship team.
So did you drop somebody, or did you...
No, I mentioned that to him, and I was just teasing because we, you know, met with them last weekend, and I was going, well, you know, if, because they're having the guests, you know, the next on Sunday, so I said, you know, I blocked it out for our PowerPoint, you know, because I said, you know, I'd like people to come to our church. I said, but at the same time, if the Lord led them there, I would not stop anybody. I want everybody to be obedient to where the Lord's leading. And he goes, oh, Pastor Karen, that is a good point, though. He goes, because I'm inviting other churches, and I don't want to pull them away, you know, from their Sunday morning services. So he goes, was one of those that he just didn't think of that. And so he goes, I'm going to make a special flyer for those and send it out to all those pastors that I've invited for their church, you know, because, you know, I don't want it to be. I said, yeah. I said, you know, well, I said, I'm still, you know, I was just teasing, but hey, that is a good idea. So so he did that. He changed it up. But I remember how I'm going to this first. This was incredibly cool. I love our God. He is so, so neat. So I passed it on to a few people, but there is a, and Paul, can you pass this out, please, hon? Thank you. This, I saw this devotional online, and I don't always look at the devotionals like from the Elijah list, but I happened to look at this one. It caught my eye, and I happened to read it. And then it was dated July 22nd. Do you remember June 23rd, the Lord gave us, you know, that title, the new identity, Isaiah 22, you know, 62, we're supposed to be praying it, claiming it. And it said, and he said, for the last few weeks. And I was like, wow. So the Holy Spirit is speaking, not just to us, but to others. And we remember we were supposed to grab that individually, but also corporately, as we are part of the body of Christ. But this part of the body is called Pathway of Hope. And one thing that God spoke to me when I was reading this and emphasized, and I emphasized that in the blue ink. Do you see the highlighted, the darker? And it says, releasing new names for a new season. But I said, we are no longer to say, we will be called, Pathway of Hope will be known as what God gave us. a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. God said, no longer say that. We are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. So when you're, you know, when you're praying individually for our church, and when you're claiming Isaiah and praying Isaiah 62, then not only over your personal life, but also over the pathway of hope. And now start saying, pathway of hope is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation. So thank you, Lord, for our new identity and our new name. So we are now have received it. We have actually given birth to that, because remember, he gave that to us 9 months after that Isaiah 62. Yes. So now what he gave us in the beginning of the year, what we received, what we conceived in the sense, is now birthed. And so now we are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. So we were declaring that and claiming that. And I just thought this was just, this is so neat. Have you ever done that where you hear something from the Lord and then all of a sudden you happen to read a scripture, your devotion time, or you happen to hear something on the TV, or you happen to hear something there, and it could be even not Christian. It could be secular, but something triggers something that it's like, oh, wow. And you're like floored how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And because of the Lord's love for each and every one of us. So I just thought that was really neat. There are a few things that are happening right now, and I just want to inform you that there is an action alert with the Tucson City Election Voter Guide. And there it is here with through the Center for Arizona Policy. That should be up there. And so I just want you to know, I know that we particularly will not be voting, but if you know of anybody in that area that will have elections, please tell them about. They can go to the ArizonaVoterGuide.com and they can see. The unfortunate thing was many declined to answer the Center for Arizona Policy. So, but what encouraging thing to do is to call or to email to try to with some specific questions and try to get a response so you know how best who to vote for. And if you haven't registered to vote, please register to vote. The deadline to register to vote, if you haven't already voted, or if you know of somebody that lives in the area to be able to vote, the deadline is Monday. But they can go on to that Arizona voterguide.com, and they can register. It takes about 5 minutes. So just, I want you to encourage, you know, other people to do that. Also, I printed, if you know of anybody in the area, I printed a couple of these that talk about who is running, and then it has their email and phone numbers. This is City Council Ward 3, 5, and 6. So if you know of anybody, that's over here. And then just wanted to just encourage you all on that, or and if you know of anybody. But remember how I told you in May, June, and July, there was the Pulpit Freedom Sunday that they were asking pastors to share and unite together, especially because of what was going on with the Supreme Court justice regarding marriage and the redefinition of marriage. And so they were asking him, and every time I was trying to do it, and the Lord, you know, was just giving me something, so I kept tabling it. And finally, this Sunday, there was this came in, I saw this, I said, okay, got it. I know what I'm doing this Sunday. And so I said, oh, wow. And I made it within July. They asked for May, June, July. They had a specific date for everybody to try to join in. But they asked, if you can't do it that date, then, you know, if you can, sometime May, June, or July. Well, I want to start with a marriage code. And I pulled some of the information, some of the slides. I pulled from one of the gentleman's slides. And I pulled some information. But the Lord had already also given me kind of a direction, so I changed it up the way he did it, so I kind of pulled from different resources to come up with the message today as I felt the Lord leading to do. Sorry, did I do okay on that? But there's a marriage quote. R.C. Sproul says, change marriage and you can change the world. Convince people that government, not God, lays down the rules for marriage, and they will believe more strongly that they determine right and wrong. That not even the world's rulers are subject to a higher authority. That is a good quote to kind of keep in the back of your mind. The Center for Arizona Policy, and Paul, I would like you to hand this out too, please. This is one thing that's why what grabbed me. This came out too this week. And it says there's some headlines popping up across our state, Arizona. Group files, Arizona same-sex marriage initiative. This is in the Arizona Republic, June 17, 2013. Gay marriage group hopes to change the Constitution. And that was ABC 15, and that was June 17, 2013. Initiative seeks to legalize gay marriage in Arizona. This was in the Arizona Daily Star, June 18, 2013. So since that decision was made, we are seeing now action happening, not only in our state, but it's happening around in other states. Challenges are happening. In this, we need to remember what God's word says, his pure, true word. I know some people have changed up the word and made it to be what they want it to be. They've accepted certain scriptures and not certain scriptures, but this is the living, breathing word of God. It is the truth. It stands today, and it stands forever, and it stood yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we need to not change it up. They have, the homosexual people have done that in the sense because they want to help them to feel better in a sense of their lifestyle. So they've created what is called the Queen's Bible. Instead of the King James Bible, they have created the Queen's Bible. And so we just need to be careful on what we're reading, where we're going to. It's really awesome if you can go to the Word and look up the original Greek and Hebrew. If you ever have that and you have the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, I really encourage you to do that. But we are seeing, too, the church being challenged of compromising God's precious holy word. And God is saying, no, I am there to help you to be strong and firm on my standards, my truth. This is not what we feel. This is what he feels, his truth. We're not the ones to judge. He is the judge. Jesus is the judge, but we are to speak and stand for his truth. And I want to emphasize tremendously with love. Because that's what God is. God is love. When Jesus came to people like the woman at the well, and he knew what she had done, he knew how shunned she was, and he still went up to her with love. He stood bold and strong against the culture influences of that day. And he went up to that woman who so desperately needed the Lord, who was living a lifestyle of sin right there and then, who had made many past mistakes. But the Lord met her with love, stood firm in the truth because he was the Word. But he came to her with love. He came to her with, as the word of God says in Isaiah 64, that his understanding is unfathomable. I mean, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. His understanding is unfathomable. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And Psalm 139 talks about how he had everything planned out. He knows the beginning of our life and the end. And that's where, I'm sorry, that verse is about his understanding. And it's just incredible to know how much he loves us. But we need to remember, because his understanding is so great for each and every one of us, and knowing the challenges, the temptations, the weaknesses of each and every one, including those who are choosing a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord. He understands where they're at. He understands what's happening. And he wants to receive them with love as they are willing to accept his way and the blood that was shed for them too, for each and every one of us. Stand for marriage. I'm going to use a lot of these slides from a gentleman named Dr. Kenyon Cureton, and he is the vice president for church ministries with the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. So some of the slides I will use of him, some are my own. I have a question to ask you. How should Bible believing in the truth, the
the truth, not adjusted in any way, shape, or form. The truth, the living word, the powerful word, the living, breathing word of God. How should Bible-believing Christians respond to the conflicting views on marriage? Amen. Stand on God's word. It is not us. It is God saying this. Just as God says that you should not have extramarital sex. This is God's word that says that. He calls that adultery. And that is a sin. It is an abomination. He doesn't like that. It is not good because remember, God is love, but he's pure and he's holy and he is righteous. And he is just. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I'll be quoting a lot from the NIV today. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, those that are covetous, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. But once you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your heart's desire, it talks about in Philippians 2:13 that he will give you a desire to love God and to obey him. And that includes to love others. That is the word. And so he knows that, but we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to do that because it's not always easy to love the unlovable. It is not always easy to love a spouse because sometimes they're challenging to each other. Sometimes your personalities rub each other wrong, you know. Children, it's not always easy to love our children. You love them, but sometimes those personalities and you've got these challenges going on. The person that cuts you off on the road. Sometimes it's not always easy to love and have this good feeling towards that person. But really our response should be, thank you, Lord, that we didn't get in an accident, and please help them. But sometimes our response isn't always at first with love. But every single sin, Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, now know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So I am not one to use the word effeminate. And I thought, okay, Lord, I want to see how did the NIV come up with this? How did these other translations come up with this on the homosexual? So I looked up the original Greek, and it was malakos, and it means fine clothing, figuratively a catamite, and then it says effeminate, and then soft. When you go to the Noah Webster's dictionary, and if you go to like the Latin and it helps you, it says having the qualities of the female sex. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Soft or delicate to an unmanly degree. Tender, womanish. Womanish being resembling the practice or qualities of the sex. Academy, I didn't know what that was. But some of you may know that word, but I didn't. It is a boy kept for unnatural purposes. So we know that a lot of things happen. We know that there's sex slave going on, and that it includes boys and girls. We know that they are asked to do things, or told, not asked, made to do things as a slave that is not well-pleasing to God. But our Jesus Christ blood not only covers the horrible sin of those people that are making them do this, these slave drivers, and then this horrible crime. But the blood of Jesus covers the ones that were the victims and can bring that healing, ministering power to each and every one. That delivering, freeing power that only Jesus Christ and his blood can do, and that resurrection power that comes with that. Lord has a divine pattern. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will be one flesh." This is continued in the New Testament. We see this repeated, Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus says, "Have you not read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" And that's referring to Genesis 1, 27, and said, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is referring to, as I just quoted, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. In both the Old Testament and the New Testaments, one man and one woman in marriage covenant relationship for life is the divine pattern. This is what our Lord calls is to be a marriage, a bride and a groom, a bride female, a groom male. There is a deceptive perversion out there that's going against the truth. And we need to be aware of that, but we need to recognize the truth, because the truth is, Leviticus 18:22, you are not to sleep with a man as with a woman. It is detestable. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, the first part of that, if a man sleeps with a man as with a woman, they have both committed an abomination. This is a sin. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, some people say, well, that was the New Testament. And this is the that was the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Well, we just repeated in Matthew 9:19, verses 4 and 5, how Jesus repeats that. He goes back. He says in Matthew 5:17 and 18, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to do that." He says, "I came to come to abolish. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth," because he is the truth, "until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Man may try to do it, and some people have adjusted this Bible to go to the way that they want it to go to make it them feel better, but this that doesn't it doesn't take away what is true and what is there. The word will be there yesterday, today, and forever. It stands firm and it will not be changed. This is the truth. Man can try to change it up, but it will not be changed. So God's judgment is based on his word and his truth. But in his judgment is full of the love, because he sent his only begotten son to earth to die for each and every one each person's sins on the cross. Whether they recognize it or not, Jesus died for every single human being's sin. And he paid the penalty of that price, which was death, separation from the Lord, God Almighty, for eternity. He paid that price. He got the keys and told Satan, "Give them to me. I got the keys now." And he went up to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of our Lord God Almighty. And Jesus is the one with that power of the resurrection because of the blood. When we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we then have that power of that resurrection to help us each and every day to live this. And then when we blow it, because we will, because we're human, then every single part of the sin that the Lord says is a sin, his blood covers it. The blood of Jesus covers it. And we just repent and go back. "Lord, okay, I'm sorry, but help me to continue to do better. Help me to continue to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I have," as Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says. "But I have the fruit of the Spirit, which is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And of those qualities of the Holy Spirit starts with love. Because God is love. Everything comes from that, is based on love. God knows that this alternative lifestyle brings death, brings more curse, brings more sorrow. And you hear testimony after testimony of those that have come out of that lifestyle and say how free they are when they've received Jesus' blood covering them, when they've repented of their sins, and how much better they are off when they really have that love that is His love, not this false love. And they have Him holding him, in a sense, figuratively, spiritually, though. We need to stand for marriage. There is a definite problem, there is a definitive problem. Well, we have the gay activists that are trying to say, and I hate to say gay because of the fact that, to me, gay way back meant happy, good, you know, and trusting. So I like to refer it to more as the homosexual agenda. But they say that there is a homosexual gene. And they have some studies and books out. But so does other scientists show that, no, that is not true. And if you want any information on that, you go to, like, Focus on the Family. There's also a gentleman named Dr. Michael Brown. I've gotten a huge book on it that the Lord led him to that goes into research and helps you to understand what they're going through and then helps you to lovingly reach them with the love of the Lord to help them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to kindly just help them to lead them to the truth. But it's out of love. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. But we still need to stand up for the truth of God. James Dobson, and many of us know Dr. James Dobson and know of him. He used to be the president of Focus on the Family. He said, I am certain that homosexuality does not result from irresistible genetic influence, as some would have us believe. The definitive problem, we need to remember to look back to, where does it come from? Well, sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. We just have sinful tendencies and nature. And this is just a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And we need to remember that it is a sin. Just as those who believe, there are some that believe that sex before marriage is okay. There are some that are in churches that are saying that it's okay to have an abortion, to kill a life that God created. So there are some that are saying, well, it's okay to maybe compromise on this and that. It's okay not to honor somebody sometimes. And the Lord says to honor all, to love and honor all, to respect. The Lord says to keep yourself pure until marriage and only with the spouse, the opposite sex that He has brought you with, a bride, female, and a groom, male. They are one flesh and they are to stay together and not veer off and compromise what God originally designed for them. And that life, God breathed into that life. And I've heard many testimonies of people or women maybe that even it was a challenge to the doctors were saying it was a challenge to their health that they continued on with the pregnancy. But once they trusted God, how God miraculously continued to keep them healthy or the child. Or maybe the child didn't make it, but they did. If it was a life and death thing. So we can see God's hand work when we allow Him to work, when we trust Him. Continuing about the definitive problem, we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18, and it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And verses 26 through 32, it goes on to say, because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their
their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, foolish mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness and evil, greed, covetousness again, depravity. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Why? Because they are unwilling to look to God, to the way that God will be able to bless their lives if they truly love him and know his word and are obedient to him. He is the one that transforms the minds. He is the one that helps him to think in the ways that are well-pleasing to him. He is the one that will correct any deception and any blindness that they have from the world. He is the one. But the church often is weak because we are not in the word. And we are all called to be disciples. A man of God like Billy Graham, who has been a man in the word and preaching and evangelist for years and years and years, is still learning from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is still teaching him. He knows a lot of the word. He knows a lot of the truth. But he's still learning. And he's taking that time to pray and to seek God and to be in his presence and to go to the throne room for the power of prayer because of the blood covering him and thanking him every day and reading the word saying, teach me, Holy Spirit, feed me with your word. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and is the beginning of wisdom. And as we are in his word, we gain the knowledge and we can be smarter than anybody else. In the sense of a spiritual sense, guided with the truth, fed by the truth. And that smarter will not make us arrogant smarter. Instead, we will be filled with more humility and more love, more kindness, more tenderness, more compassion, more forgiving, more grace, more mercy, because that all comes from him. And then there's the destructive perversion. There's homosexuals represent about a fraction of the total United States population, only about 3%, they're saying on the studies. But the activists have been extremely successful in advancing their agenda. They have strategized, they have planned, they have organized. The destructive program. Goals of the radical homosexual agenda include special privileges and rights in the laws, sensitivity training of our children through public education, silencing critics in the clergy and Christian media, securing the legal benefits of marriage and parenting for any two people of the same gender. There is somebody that I know that went through a challenge with their child. There's a few people, and one that stood up to the word. When the child came to them, an adult child, and they said what they were doing, and actually they had left a spouse, and they were involved, and they lovingly told that child that, "I love you, but I am firm on what God's word says. And you're choosing this. You have no grounds to leave your spouse. And you are choosing to go to the same sex. And I just cannot condone it. I cannot help it in any way." So they were continuing to talk to this person with love. And they were saying, I love you, but I do not condone this. And I'm going to stand firm on this word.
And so you cannot bring that in the home. But I love you. They stressed the love. They stressed the forgiveness. They stressed the truth. And they continue to pray for that person. Others I know, they've gone through, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Barbara Johnson, but she went through a terrible time when she found out her son was a homosexual, and she had just all boys, so in this family, and but it was a really hard time for both of them, and she almost committed suicide one time. She was so down and depressed. I raised my son to know the Lord and to serve him, and then he got deceived and compromised, and then he got into this lifestyle. She didn't hear from him. She stood also. This one, though, didn't hear from their child for 11 years. All of a sudden, they get a phone call. Didn't give up praying, though. And they get a phone call. Me and my partner went to a conference. It was Bill Gothard, actually. And they were convicted by the Holy Spirit. He repented and rededicated his life to the Lord. The partner never had had Jesus as his Lord and Savior, so he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, repented of his sins, and both of them stopped their relationship and started living for the Lord in the right way, well-pleasing to him. I know of other stories, too, and many others where we see the power of God working miraculously. I remember hearing a testimony several months ago in a Focus on the Family magazine, and it was of a gentleman who had been married, and then he had gotten a divorce and went into the lifestyle, even had the sex changes to go to female, had some children from that first marriage, and then he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, recognized that what he was doing was sin. He recognized he needed Jesus. He repented of his sin. And then as God helped him, he was able to do what he could in order to get back to the correct way to be of where God originally created him to be. Our God is amazing, and he can heal many. And I've heard of many who have come out of that homosexual lifestyle. And I've heard of parents who lovingly care for their child and love them, but take a stand, as I just represented. Two people that took a stand. One was able to still keep in touch. The other one lost touch for years, but didn't give up praying. But we need to respond with love, but not compromising the word. We see this happening. This destructive program that they have in the educational arena, as I said, in the entertainment arena, because the more you watch and read and see this, the more you get a little desensitized about it. Well, it's okay. It's okay for them, but not for me. That's not my thing. Well, at least they're nice. And yes, that's good. Many are. We have known people that are living that sinful lifestyle, and they're very nice and very helpful and kind co-workers and neighbors, etc. And it's great to have that. But they still need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we've helped them. But they still need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because what they're doing is sin. Stand for marriage. We need to stand for the way that the Lord God had it and not listen to this destructive program. Patricia Nell Warren, she quoted, "It is the first fact of civilization. Whoever captures the kids owns the future." That's why you're seeing such a strong agenda in the school systems. Why you're seeing them flood the media. Actually, pornography studies have shown, and which is gone. Do you know that the United States, as some studies have shown, that we now provide 85% of the pornography around the world? And they have shown that those studies have shown that of that 85%, the pornography, as it's gone up, so is the homosexuality, yeah, and the compromise and sin. Adultery, pornography addiction has gone up, and now it's attacking more the women. because they've really dominated the men, and so now they're really gearing it towards the women. And they're showing that this is destroying the families and the cultures of what God really shown. Studies have shown, historical studies throughout the world have shown that when the family is strong, the country is strong. The original family that God created it to be. Edmund Burke is often cited, "All that is needed for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." But we must do something. Paul and I went to, Fort Tucson had a governmental fellowship breakfast on Friday, and we went to that, and there was an educator named Claire Morgan who spoke. Excellent. She did an excellent job, but she was saying a little acronym, PEP, P-E-P, pray, educate, and participate. And she was saying how many of the church doesn't know, because like I've said, many will not preach this anymore. They won't stand strong, but I've told you, if you want to come here, I'm going to stand strong for this truth. Do I like it all the time? No, I don't either. It hurts. I mean, not that I don't like it. I love it, you know, because it's the word of God, but I mean, it hurts because like my humanness wants to fight against it. That's what I should say. You know, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it's like, ew, okay, this is hard. You want me to forgive my enemy? You want me to bless my enemy? You want me to pray? When I've actually had to act that out at work, I've told you that, where God tested me for a long time. And with other people that have hurt me tremendously, backstabbed. And I'm talking also, this happens also in the church. Because the church is made up of humans. People don't want to go to church because, well, there's hypocrites there. Hello? I mean, they're human. Each one of us is not without fault. But God doesn't say to not go to church because they're going to, you know, they might hurt you. And if they did hurt you, stop going. He says to not forsake the fellowship of other Christians. That's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Especially when the time is getting tougher, when it's closer to his return, which we are in. Some say all prophecy has been fulfilled, that Christ can return at any moment. But whether Christ doesn't, whether he tarries, we still don't know when our last breath is, and we still don't know when the last breath is of somebody else. It can happen suddenly. We've all heard of suddenlies, freaky things, and all of a sudden that person is no longer here. But we should care for one another, constantly forgiving one another, whether they deserve it or not, or whether you feel like they offended you or not, or whether they were right in their offense feeling or not. We still need to respond with love and forgiveness, with the heart of the Lord that understands that I died for you and all the splinters and logs in your eyes. And we all have seen our blind spots, haven't we? At some point in time, we go, oh, wow, yeah, I judged that person about that, and I just wound up doing it. And we don't see it sometimes. That's why we're supposed to be living love and forgiveness. When somebody has truly hurt us, we need to continue to seek God and say, help me to forgive. And I choose to forgive, and I know that those feelings will come, but I'm going to choose to respond with love and kindness. And if you tell me to bless them, I will bless them too. Because that's what your word tells me to do. Because I love you, Lord God, and I'm going to be obedient to you. And I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm going to trust the power of your living, breathing word. And I'm going to trust that it's going to work in me. This is where we need to be at. This is the response we need to do. There is a determined plan. So one of the things, as she was saying in the PEP, pray. Pray. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14, or many of us have heard it at one point in time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek his presence, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We need to continue to like practice the word, to be the word, to do the word, as best as we can each and every day, but we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need the Lord to do it. Paul and I love my husband dearly, but we've been married 23
years plus, and the first years were very, 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 very challenging. And but for both of us, and we're so thankful that each of us stuck through it. Did I sometimes hear the word divorce or separation here and there? Oh, yeah, I heard that word, divorce. And then I'd have to say, no, that is not an option. And I'd continue to pray and 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 pray. And it was very, 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 very challenging. And I was praying and praying and praying and praying, as I know he was doing, because we were both, you know, I mean, we're just, you know, I had my things, issues, and he had his issues. And we both had our issues, but we still needed to seek the Lord daily. Are things better? Yeah. And are they perfect? No. 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 And so, and I still every once in a while have to go to him and say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I responded like I'm stressed on things, and then I responded, or I was kind of short on something, or you know, it could be, you know, for women, it could be that time of the month, or, and so I was just, you know, he's had to deal with that. But then sometimes I've had to deal with things. And so we continually have to rely on the love of the Lord in us and through us, and to be filled with his love in order to continue to love each other, in order to continue to forgive each other, in order to continue to live with each other. Same for our children. And as adults, same thing. To love those adult children, to see them sometimes making those mistakes, and then, oh, you're just the parent? You can't tell them, go to your room, or you'll be punished, or I'm taking away the iPhone and the iPad and the computer and this and that, and you know, and you'll just be stuck with books. I mean, you know, I mean, this generation, that's like punishment. You know, take all the electronics away. What did I do? Oh, I lost a... So, but, you know, to them, that's a punishment. But you can't do that with adult children. And then you see them making some of the mistakes, and you're like, oh, Lord, because you're on the other side. But you have to pray, and you continue to love them. And they may hurt you, and you have to continue to love them and forgive them. They may not call you or see you the way that you wish they would call you or see you. And your heart just aches for them, and you love them. But you need to continue to have that love and forgiveness. We need to live the word of God, even to those who are living in lifestyles. And right now we're focusing on homosexual, that lifestyle, but that is not pleasing to God. But everybody, whether they're a drug addict or whether they're an alcoholic or whether they're a workaholic, whatever vice they have or whatever sin that they're in, we need to continue to respond with being his hands and his feet. Preaching in the word of God always, and if necessary, use words. We are living the action of that kindness and that heart and that compassion that he has for us each and every day. He responded with us when we had Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to continue to participate, and this determined plan, we need to, you know, think about these things, to pray and to live and practice and to participate. And Abraham Lincoln, he said, we need to participate in our government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is how he described it. We need to remember that it is not just about us. It's about others. We are the salt and the light of the earth, as Matthew 5 talks about in verses 13 and 16. We are to remember and respect our government. Do we pray for them? Do we try to vote? Yes, in ways that are the best way we possibly can, trying to get the information that we can, and then praying that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct us on voting. And then
maybe encouraging others to vote, encouraging family and friends to vote, encouraging them to register to vote, and encouraging them about, hey, I heard this about this person, or I heard this about that one. Oh, really? I heard that they voted. This is their voting record. Oh, really? Okay, that'll help me on this decision. I'm going to take this before the Lord, and I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, guide and direct me on what I should pray for. And now that our laws that we pass, the bonds, etc., things that you passed and voted for, and then they're being overturned, we need to continue to pray for the judges, the Supreme Court justices that have taken the Constitution and used it in ways that was not originally intended it to be. So we need to pray. We need to pray for the leaders. And we need to not vote, though, because, well, why do I vote? It's a waste. Are you kidding? God created us and had us here in America, where we have that privilege and that honor and that responsibility to vote. We have that privilege and that honor and that responsibility to pray for each and every leader. There is a spiritual warfare going on, and it's going on for them too, because Satan doesn't want our country to honor God, to be a republic. It wants it to be a totalitarian. That's what Satan's his agenda is. So a republic is truly seeing and recognizing what we have in God and living and working in that, operating that in all areas of our lives. And that is where the Constitution came, because a lot of it was based from the wisdom and the knowledge and the word on how to live. But we've turned way away from this. And we can get back. Nothing is impossible with God. But we need to have those hearts that are humble, repentant for those that were before us, and repentant of those that are here around and those that are in leadership, and continue to intercede on behalf of those that are in the positions, and continue to encourage everybody to vote. We need to proclaim the truth. We need to have a determined plan, and in that we need to proclaim the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." We need to proclaim this. We need to live that, because this is the hope that is for each and every one of us. This is the hope for those that are in that lifestyle that is not pleasing to God, that is an abomination to Him. He created man and woman to be a bride, female, and a male is the groom. The bride is female, the groom is male. This is how God had us to be. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 30 and 32, and then also verse 36. This is about the freedom and the truth. "If you hold to my teaching," that's God's pattern, "you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, and this freedom is for each and every one that is in whatever lifestyle of sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, therefore they are now a new creation. All things have passed away, and look, new things have come." Do anybody do their homework assignment? Do like a homework assignment. But remember how I mentioned how, maybe you could do a homework assignment last week's message, Psalm 34. It's an awesome psalm. I love that psalm. Well, in that, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." So each and every one that is in that homosexual lifestyle or whatever sin, if they come to the Lord and say, "Man, I recognize I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus. And I need you as my Lord and Savior," He comes in. Well, maybe some will continue in that lifestyle. Yeah, they might, until the Holy Spirit empowers them to be able to totally get out. Some are healed and instantly delivered. And some, it takes a process because they find themselves, their heart means to get out of that sinful lifestyle, but they find themselves falling sometimes. But that desire is still there. And as they continue to have a heart that is for the Lord as they continue to have a heart that really is convicted and a humble and contrite, thoroughly penitent heart, the Lord will deliver them out of that. It may take a process, but he will. And they will have that victory, and they will see the manifestation of being an overcomer that Jesus Christ bought for them. They will see that. But all of that is strengthening them as they continue to rely on him and receive that forgiveness. He will strengthen them to get out of that lifestyle. I like the quickening, the instant deliverance on anything, no matter what it is. And the quick healing, instant healing. I like that one. This process thing is not always easy. But if you see anybody that has trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you see that they still are following, you pray for them and you encourage them to not give up and to persevere and to receive that cleansing power that Jesus has for them. And not say, oh, well, I might as well give up. I'm just a homosexual for life. No, you're not. The power of the blood of Jesus claimed them. Once they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that covered them. And they now belong to him. Satan's going to try to pull them away to be an ineffective Christian or to backslide or apostatize. But if they keep their heart to him, every time that they blow it, they come to the Lord. And eventually they will be so strong, they will always resist and they will always flee. And they will not even sometimes even have that desire anymore. Some are totally and completely free, but some have chosen to just totally put guards until God totally does a cleansing and turning away of their mind and their body and their healing. And as they keep claiming that word, and they start seeing changes totally. Some choose celibacy for the rest of their lives. Whatever, as they're leading being led by the Lord, and as they're relying on him, he will guide and direct the manifestation of his healing ministry and power that he has for each and every one. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Because a homosexual lifestyle, if you watch and read the studies, has a destructive lifestyle. Many wind up dying, not just from AIDS, but from depression and suicide. The Psalm 107, verse 20, the New Living Translation says, he sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. And John 9:39, then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment as a separator in order that there may be separation between those who believe on me and those who reject me, to make the sightless see and to make those who see become blind. In other words, those whose hearts are really towards him, they'll be able to see. I've told you this message before, but I was raised faithfully going to church twice a year. And then I went to some classes in 7th and 8th grade that I memorized a lot of scriptures, memorized the books of the Bible, knew a lot of the word, knew about Jesus, knew about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, knew about all that, but didn't have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it wasn't until after I graduated from high school that I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I repented of my sins and trusted him. And it was then when I started reading this word, I had memorized many scriptures, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, do you see what this says? Because the Holy Spirit now had taken the blinders off, and I was seeing the truth, and I was being able to digest it. It was no longer black print over white pages. It was living and breathing, and I was like, no way. Wow. This is so cool. I still get like, I just love being in his word. I especially love going to the original Greek and Hebrew and seeing how deep it is. How awesome. John chapter 9 verse 39. This is the NLT. And it says, then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. I like that. There are many that think they see. I know the truth. I got the Queen's Bible. And they're deceived. But when they truly know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, they're going to know that that Bible is full of people that have altered it. And then they're going to start recognizing it and recognize the truth and want the version that has the truth and start studying
and being led by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 34 says, going back to Psalm 34, verses 8 through 11, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." We have no lack. "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord." We're not supposed to fear man. We are supposed to fear the Lord. We are supposed to stand strong for his truth. And then in verse 13 it says, "Keep your lips from speaking deceit." But you have to be in the Word to know the truth. And then you have to be willing to stand strong. It's not by you. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that will keep you to stand strong. And to respond as Jesus did to those that challenged him constantly on the truth. And he responded with love. Sometimes just with a smile and no answer. Because he knew silence was the best way to answer at that time. Have you ever had an argument with your spouse? And I think this is more probably on the men's side to the female. And the man will go, "What's wrong?" And the woman will go, "Nothing." And the man will go, "What's wrong?" And the woman will go, "Nothing." Because she's not wanting to talk about it at that time. She's not ready. And sometimes the best response is not to try to force somebody to talk about an issue or to respond with them in a response. It is best to respond with just, "You know what? You know, you just respond kindly or smile, and you just don't answer them. You are just silent and let the Holy Spirit work on them." And then maybe an opportunity will come about where you're able to share. But when they're in that defensive mode, they are not wanting to really talk. Don't force it. Just like a husband shouldn't force it on a wife to talk. And I think many of these husbands have learned. You don't force a woman to talk. But we, at the same time, need to get to that point to help us, Lord, to be able to talk. Help us to be able to get to that point, to talk it out. Because, you know, we shouldn't go down to bed with anger. You know, we should try to resolve it. Paul and I, sometimes, what we would do when we were in those very, 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 very challenging years, we learned that we just couldn't come to a point of agreement. And so we learned to just table it, but we also learned to show each other affection and that we loved each other. So maybe we couldn't talk, but we could physically show each other that we loved each other because we knew we weren't there as we continued to seek the Lord and pray about it. But this is where you need to pray and continue to respond with love and say, you know, like with a spouse that doesn't want to talk about it, "Please, can you give me some time? I need to kind of like give me some space, please, so I can pray and calm down and work this out." Sometimes it's a sibling. You have to send siblings to your own room. Sometimes you're in a household living with other people, roommates and stuff. And sometimes you just kind of need some time to get away so have that space. Sometimes your best friends, you have some frictions going on. So you just need to give yourself some space so you can get to the point where you can come back, talk some things out. But no matter what, forgive. And if there's something on your side that you need to ask for forgiveness, you need to do that. But we are empowered by him. See, God wants a spotless bride. Song of Solomon, verses 4, 9 through 10 says, "You have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes, with a single jewel of your necklace. Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine, your perfume more fragrant than spices." In the NLT, verse 12, it says, "You are my private garden, my treasure, my bride, a secluded spring, a hidden fountain." This is what we are to the Lord God. And remember in Isaiah 62, verse 4 and 5, "You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate
or your land be called the deserted wife. You will be called the people God loves, and your land will be called the bride of God because the Lord loves you. Your name will no longer be deserted and childless, but happily married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, marry you. As your bridegroom rejoices, pleased, happy, delighted over his bride, so will your God rejoice, be full of joy over you because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. There are 9 ways that this gospel transforms a marriage. There are 9 ways that this gospel helps us to be that spotless bride for Christ that will help each and every one that is in that homosexual lifestyle be that spotless bride for Christ. Because of the gospel, Christians have become new creations, as I mentioned. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, in our marriage, our past does not define us, confine us, or determine our future. Because of the gospel, we are forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Therefore, we can live free of all guilt and condemnation for every sin. And we can trust that God in his mercy will be gracious to us. Because of the gospel, we can forgive, just as Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32. And this is from the book Love That Lasts. Nothing done against us compares to our sin against God. Therefore, all offenses, hostility, and bitterness between Christians can be completely forgiven and completely removed because we are claiming what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Number 4, because of the gospel, we are accepted by God. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, therefore, we are not dependent on a spouse for who we are or what we need. No, we are dependent on the one true living God, our source for everything. Because of the gospel, sin's ruling power over us is broken. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and verse 14. Therefore, you can truly obey God, all that God calls us to do in our marriages and to be ready for him as the bride of Christ, the spotless bride of Christ. Regardless of any circumstances or any situation, we can be that spotless bride of Christ. Because of the gospel, number 6, we have access to God through Christ, as Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 talks about. Therefore, we can at any time take any need in our marriage to the one who can do all things, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and in our physical here on earth marriages. We can take it to him. He will meet our needs. He is our builder. Number 7, because of the gospel, we have hope, as Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says. Therefore, we can endure any marital difficulty, hardship, or suffering with the assurance that God is working all to our greatest good, as Romans 8:28 says. When we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he can work all things out together for our good because we love him. We are called to according to his purpose, which is to love and obey him and to love others. Number 8, because of the gospel, Christ dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. As Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, therefore, we are confident that God is always with us and is always at work in our marriage and in our lives as we continue to desire to be that spotless bride and continue to seek him because we needed his help to continue to be. Even when progress is imperceptible, we can do that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. 9, the last point, because of the gospel, we have the power to fight and overcome remaining sin, which continues to dwell and war within us. Romans chapter 7, verses 19 through 21 talks about this, verses 24 through 25, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 talk about this. This indwelling enemy represents the essence of what is called the doctrine of sin. The law of sin, but Jesus came to conquer this law of sin. Jesus came to cover us. His blood covers us, and the resurrection power is what empowers us each and every day because the Holy Spirit is with us. We can be that spotless bride of Christ. Jesus Christ is our groom, and we can be that spotless bride as we continue to seek him, to continue to have him reveal to us where there is sin, where we need to repent. Continue to help us each and every day to live a life full of his love and his love extended to others in action and in words. It's because of him that we can present to others that are in this homosexual lifestyle, that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them. And there is nothing that is too powerful for them to be delivered and healed and ministered to. Just as anybody, whatever their sin is, whatever their sinful lifestyle is, God is their hope and their only hope through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the power. He is our source for everything. Pastor Janet, can you lead us in a song? Our last worship song. Thank you.
And in all that, when we need a firm foundation, it is in Him. For He is our rock, a mighty, mighty rock. So this last song, we're going to proclaim, and we're going to say with confidence, "You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration." And He knows we're going to have to cry out to Him. And we know we're going to have to cry out to Him. And we're going to say, "Lord, it's going to be unto You I cry."
You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto You will I cry. You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. My hope and my inspiration, Lord, unto You will I cry. I believe in You, believe in You for Your faithful love to me. You have been my help in time of need.
Our Lord is good, huh? Awesome. I've explained to some, I like to do it the way the Apostle Paul. There's a whole lot of meaning in the way the Apostle Paul would kneel before the Lord when he would pray. And I just love to do what I've heard that as I was led by the Lord. But then I found out, oh, wow, now I see there's such power in this. And it's because I'm humbly also going before the Lord because I care for each one of you. And
And I just need to go before the Lord with the power of his word, claiming it over each and every one of our lives. I am not just praying it, I'm declaring it and proclaiming it for each and every one of us. Because he loves us so much. We are so precious to him. And this is from the Amplified. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. We thank you and praise you for this, Lord God, for this power of your word and for these verses, Lord. May you, Lord God, bless each and every one here. May you, Lord God, watch over each and every one, guard each and every one, and keep each and every one here, Lord. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each and every one, and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each and every one here, Lord. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each and every one here and give them your peace that only comes through Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior. For the peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace the world gives. May it guard and protect each and every one's heart and mind, as Philippians 4 talks about it, Lord. May we each be totally and completely humbly submitted to you, Lord, being led by your Holy Spirit and being obedient to you, and being hearts that want to be that extension of love to others, no matter what. May we not trust on our feelings, but instead trust in your truth, your uncompromising truth, for there is power in it. And we thank you and praise you for that, and strength. Thank you, Lord. You are our rock. You are our foundation. And may we continue to walk in that through this week. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.